With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
It's week 16 on the wire. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe Pizzapia. That, of course, is Kyle Yates and Dan Harris. And as always, it's you. And today is just your normal Monday. We're just walking into the waiver wire show after Duke Johnson's the number one running back in football and Tom Brady got shut out. It's just your regular waiver wire show. Come on! And we still got, four more games left to play. It's a marathon, not a sprint. That's what they say. But Dan Harris, starting to feel a little bit more like a marathon this week.
This is ridiculous. Like this, we have seen a crazy year, but, and then we had like all the COVID stuff pushing games out. There are four games left as we record this, which is insane. And now we get a day where everybody you relied on was terrible. And the only, I really would like to see a lot of people moving on with final scores of like 68 to like 61 or something, because that's what's going to be absolutely ridiculous. On the bright side, it's a great waiver wire week. So if you survived and you need help, like we got a lot of options today. So they got that going for us.
Yeah. If you somehow survived and you have Evans or Godwin, there's definitely some waiver wire wide receivers, Yates, that I'm actually pretty excited to add. I don't feel like I've actually been this excited for a waiver wire show in, I don't know, like 3 or 4 weeks, it feels like.
Yeah, it just took one of the worst weeks of fantasy football in recent history for us to get here. This was ridiculous. Week 15 has been the longest 2 months of my life, that is for sure.
Well, that's very true. And I just want to point this out, too. If Antonio Brown is somehow on your waiver wire, pick him up. Pick him up. Make him your number one ad. I'm not even going to get into why. You know why. And there's a good chance he's floating out there. I'm just saying a lot of teams had to do a lot of things these last few weeks just to get by. So if he's out there, go grab him, because now is Antonio Brown season. And you watch next week. He will win somebody some sort of advancement to a championship game. You just watch. But as always here on the podcast, we're going to start with the running backs. Before we get into those guys, I want to remind everybody we're giving away a jersey of a running back named Alvin Kamara, and all you got to do is go to fantasypros.com/contest to get involved. That's right, Pristine Auction is helping us give away an Alvin Kamara autographed jersey, and all you got to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel. So go to youtube.com/fantasypros, subscribe to the YouTube channel, give us that little click on the bell there for the notifications, and then screenshot that bad boy, head over to fantasypros.com/contest. And just like that, you could win an Alvin Kamara jersey. And look, it's a perfect thing for the holidays. You know, you start a new chapter January 1st, you can wear your Alvin Kamara jersey. I don't know if Dan can get it to you that quickly. Usually Dan is in charge of all the mailing out of things here. Typically, he works in the mailroom on top of his editor-in-chief duties here at Fantasy Pros. So it's very, very busy time for him around the holidays. But I'm sure we can get it to you quickly. Also, don't forget, as always here, the waiver assistant from My Playbook drives this program to help you get all the ads that you need. But if you're looking for a little free help, we got you covered too with My Playbook Cheat Sheets. Now, only premium subscribers, as I said, get the waiver assistant, but cheat sheets are completely free. Just sync up your league and get instant waiver wire and lineup advice by the rankings into one customizable cheat sheet. So that's going to be perfect for you. And of course, you can get that for free. Did I mention it's free? Over at fantasypros.com/myplaybook.
Top waiver pickups.
All right, boys, it's waiver wire time, and games will just about be finished right in time for the waiver wire to go off in your leagues. Let's start with running backs. Dan Harris, let's kick things off with you. Who is your number one waiver wire running back ad for week 16 in the NFL?
This is not a close call this week. It is Ronald Jones. And if you're going to ask me, Joe, what percentage of your fab you should bid on him, you should take whatever you have. You should crack the code to whatever platform you have. You should steal everybody else's money. And then you should go ahead and bid, because Ronald Jones is about to win you your league. We don't know exactly how severe Leonard Fournette's injury is, other than he's expected to miss probably a week or two, which coincides with the rest of your fantasy playoffs. And we saw last year what Ronald Jones did when Leonard Fournette did not play, and it was glorious. It's basically guaranteed either 100 yards or a touchdown, not to mention all the injuries to the wide receivers. This is just going to be a dominant performance here against Carolina. Whatever you need to do to get Ronald Jones on your roster, do it. Play dirty if you need to. I'm usually very much of a, like, don't mess with fantasy karma. You can mess with fantasy karma if it means getting Ronald Jones. He's the number one waiver wire ad. He's one of the best waiver wire ads, if you are still playing, in the whole season that we have had, given his potential. Adam, immediately.
Now, I don't have any money left because last week I spent it all on Rashad Penny. I told everybody to go ahead and use 100%. Well, I don't know. I'll let you know on Tuesday at midnight how it feels, to be honest with you. But I told everybody, like, 100%, just empty the tank, because I was like, well, where are we here? We're towards the end. There's only a few weeks left. How many running backs could possibly enter into it? But if for some reason you didn't get Penny, I'm going 99% here on Ronald Jones, for all the reasons that Dan said. And Yates, I can only assume you are team Ronald Jones as well this week, as clearly the number one waiver wire ad.
Absolutely. Clearly, by a mile. And this is what we've been talking about over the past several weeks here on the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Back in week 13, I think, we talked with Matt Harmon and we said, add these high-level insurance running backs to your roster because, and we said this exact example, in week 15, week 16 in your fantasy playoffs, the last thing that you want to be doing is battling with another manager, the person that you're going up against in your playoffs, to be able to add someone like Ronald Jones, like a Marlon Mack, someone like that who has the potential to be a top 15 running back if the starter above them goes down. And here we are, Ronald Jones only rostered in 30% of leagues. Even last week we were saying, with Leonard Fournette battling his injury, missing practice on Wednesday and Thursday, go pick up Ronald Jones. So if you didn't, now this is your time to remedy that. And if you still have a little bit of fab left over, guess what? All of it goes to Ronald Jones here at this point because of his potential, because of what he can do. We know the talent is never an issue, right? It's been the fact that he's fumbled here or there, and Bruce Arians doesn't like that. So we've seen Leonard Fournette emerge as the more reliable option in this backfield. Jones has incredible talent. And so if we can get him that opportunity here, even without Evans, without Godwin in the lineup, this offense is still going to be high-powered. I'm not taking away a ton from what we saw on Sunday Night Football from the Bucs offense. So for me, Ronald Jones, by a mile, number one ad on the week.
Yeah, and look, there was a finite number of guys here, Khalil Herbert, Ronald Jones, that you felt like if there was something that should happen to the running back ahead of them, that you felt really good about putting them in your lineup. Not every backup running back necessarily becomes an automatic starter. In this scenario, it absolutely does with Ronald Jones, because as Dan and Kyle have alluded to, you've seen it before. You've seen the big play upside, and I'm sure that the Bucs offense will bounce back for some reason. Those New Orleans Saints really have their number. I don't know what it is about the Saints and the Bucs, but the Saints just, you know, kind of own them, in the words of Aaron Rodgers. So if Ronald Jones is our consensus one and we're emptying the tank, or let's say that, you know, you don't have the number one waiver wire claim in your league and you run regular road waivers without the fab, who would be your number two selection? Yates, we'll start with you on this one.
Really quick, before we get to that number two selection at the running back position, Carolina in week 16 for Ronald Jones. Guess who gets to take on in week 17?
Who?
The New York Jets.
Ah,
so if we really do have Leonard Fournette missing 1 to 2 weeks here, he's going to be out that second week. We have someone who's going to carry you to a fantasy title. Ronald Jones may as well be it. For me,
wait. You got to interrupt. I'm interrupting on one thing as well about Ronald Jones. Here's two things, actually.
You're right, Dan. It sounds like you're gargling hot gravel right now.
I am gargling a lot. I need tea. Here's the thing. Two things. Number one, even if somehow you are the most stacked team at running back, pick up Ronald Jones regardless, because you do not want him being used against you. The second thing, Joe, just to your point, guys, and really what we were saying is that was the ugliest offensive performance we've ever seen from the Bucs with Tom Brady, of course. And yet still, both Leonard Fournette against a very, very tough run defense and Ronald Jones were very productive when they got the ball. So, like, regardless, to your point, guys, of what happens with these wide receivers, like, the Bucs were able to move the ball on the ground pretty much at will in that game. They are going to be able to do so, you know, going forward as well. So, again, don't worry. It doesn't matter about the wide receivers. It doesn't matter how bad their offense looks. It's very clear how heavily involved the running backs are going to be. End of rant. I'm going to go get some tea. Go ahead, Yates.
Yeah, for me, it's Samaje Perine at number two overall for me at the running back position. We look at Joe Mixon and potentially getting a little bit banged up here at the end of week 15. We don't know at the time of recording. We don't know exactly what the extent of that injury is, but Perine kind of falls into that same bucket as Ronald Jones, Marlon Mack. Now, to a lesser extent, because Marlon Mack, Ronald Jones, those guys are really, really talented. Samaje Perine is one of the guys who will walk into an incredible amount of volume, but I'm not going to put him in that same level as far as talent with the other guys that we just mentioned. So Perine, a tier below. I'm definitely not emptying the tank to go get Perine, but if you miss out on Ronald Jones, Perine is a guy that we can go after here in for a running back needy team, even to be able to kind of play defense here. If you're looking at your next opponent and you're seeing that they have a need at the running back position, playing defense here and adding Perine to your bench might be a smart move as well if you have that higher priority in your waiver wire or whatever. So I think Perine is going to walk into plenty of volume if Mixon is expected to miss this next game. That could easily change as we get more news. Perine could come tumbling back down my rankings, but still someone that is worth adding due to the fact that he falls into that high-level insurance running back bucket.
All right, Dan Harris, who is your number two running back add in week 16?
So up until 15 minutes ago, it was Samaje Perine. It is now Justin Jackson because we learned that Austin Eckler was placed on the COVID-19 reserve list. Now, with the revised protocols, that certainly doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be out for next week. And he, even with the original protocols, he might not be out. We don't know if he tested positive. We don't know if he's a close contact. We don't know necessarily what it is about him. But just the potential here for Justin Jackson against Houston to basically dominate. He looked great last week, of course. If Eckler does have to miss that game, that's a guy you need on your roster. With Perine, by the way, I haven't independently checked this, so somebody else out there, maybe you guys know. Somebody tweeted out, I think it was Dan Klasgens, is that how you pronounce his
last Klasgens,
name?
Yeah, wonderful
I think
guy.
Last night he tweeted out that Mixon was on the field for the kneel down at the end. Okay. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything because they weren't going to play.
He just couldn't
anyway.
Get up afterward.
He's still there, by the way, which is weird. Yeah, the fact that even he felt well enough to be on the field even for that play suggests to me that Mixon's probably going
to
be okay.
Good to know.
Which is why, and again, I have not verified that, but I trust Dan, real, you know, friend of the
Dan's
show, smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, assuming that is true, that's why I would put Jackson a little bit ahead of him because, again, the upside for him is huge. Now, Perine is still three for me, though, even with the Mixon news, Joe, because I do think he needs to be rostered. All these guys have to be rostered. I don't understand how they're so widely available. Like, we've been preaching this for weeks. This is what you do. You add all these guys who you know now have this really, really good opportunity if the back in front of them gets injured. So pick up Perine for sure. But for me now, Jackson slides in at number two. Also, as Yates said, everybody is a tier below Ronald Jones.
And just to follow up with the roster percentage here, Ronald Jones, roughly 28% of league's roster. Justin Jackson, 3.9. Samaje Perine, just 10.9. And then there's Craig Reynolds, who I actually think is useful as well as a pickup, especially in deeper leagues if he's still floating out there. Back-to-back weeks of getting double-digit half PPR points and a ton of volume. I mean, he hasn't scored a touchdown. If he scored a touchdown, I feel like we'd be talking a lot more about Craig Reynolds, but 26 carries on 112 yards there and 11 for 83 the week before. So Craig Reynolds actually got moved to the actual roster as well. So good for him. Nice thing to happen to a nice person, I'm sure, for Craig Reynolds right around the holidays. You love to see it. But that's another guy, too, that I think is worthy of an ad. Yates, we already know Dan Harris is 2 and 3. So who is your number three ad this week?
Yeah, it's actually a tie with Justin Jackson and Samaje Perine. So I talked about Perine there, but that's the same amount of fab as far as Justin Jackson and Samaje Perine for the reasons that Dan mentioned. We don't know specifically with Mixon. We don't know that information. We can speculate on it. But then also, too, we don't know exactly if Austin Eckler is going to be out for this matchup. And we might not know by the time that waivers run. Again, with the new COVID protocols, all of them. this is just kind of shifting, and we're going to have to take it day by day. So Justin Jackson could easily be the guy that we go after Ronald Jones. But then, you know, by the time that we get to waivers running on Wednesday, or if they got pushed back to Thursday in your waiver or in your fantasy football platform, then you might not want to go pick up Justin Jackson because we know that Austin Eckler is going to be back. For me, Craig Reynolds is at number four. And it's interesting because I think Reynolds is absolutely worth an add if we knew that Jamal Williams wasn't going to be back. Now, we know that Reynolds was signed to the active roster in Detroit, so we know that he's going to have some sort of role for this team moving forward. But what does that role look like when you have Jamal Williams active? So if we knew that Williams was out for week 16, like we knew that 100%, I think Reynolds would be one of the guys that might put above Justin Jackson or Samaje Perine because we know we have the clarity. We don't have that yet. So Reynolds is worth adding here in your week 16 waivers, but he's going to be one of the guys that you're going to have to wait to see what happens with Jamal Williams. And if Williams is active, I don't know if I'm going to be comfortable playing Reynolds unless I'm in like a super deep league.
That's fair. I also think it's fair at this point to be concerned that you'll see Williams again. I mean, it just feels like this ongoing thing with him. He has not been healthy pretty much since week one. So it's a very difficult situation there. And hey, you know, this kid Reynolds is playing pretty well. You might as well let him play out the season here and see what you got and see if he's somebody you want to keep on your roster for next season. I mean, I know they did just get a W there, the Detroit Lions, but I don't think they have any playoff aspirations. So,
yeah.
I mean, what a crazy week, man. I mean, there were a couple games. You got Tom Brady shut out. You got the Arizona Cardinals losing to the Detroit Lions. It's fascinating stuff.
Imagine surviving in your like survivor pool all the way up until now, and you still had Arizona and you lost to the Lions. Like, yeah. I just feel for those people.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about FanTeam. Europe's largest daily fantasy sports site is now available in 20 U.S. states. They offer DFS for the NBA, NHL, and NFL, with golf coming soon. FanTeam offers their users chances to win huge cash prizes. They also hold multiple contests all the time, every single day. Sign up today at fanteam.co/fantasypros with a capital FNP. Again, that's fanteam.co, capital FANTASY, capital PROS. FanTeam, where the fan becomes the manager. And now, back to the action. All right, we got to talk about him because he was RB1, at least as of today, on the week. Duke Johnson, 22 carries, 170 yards. He also caught a ball, just for good measure, had two touchdowns, 25 standard league points on half PPR, same, and then in full point PPR, it was the 26 points. So, Dan Harris, what do you want to do with Duke Johnson here?
I don't want to add Duke Johnson. I feel like that might be unfair even to say like, okay, it's fine. But here's the bottom line. I am looking for any excuse to not recommend a Miami running back going forward. I think I now have one. And that is, we have no idea who's going to be active next week for Miami. And we have before completely bought into Myles Gaskin only to see him get like 7 carries and then nothing after the first quarter. They are playing the Saints, who, despite the Bucs' ability to run, you know, over them last night, generally a very tough run defense. So I'm not going to feel comfortable starting Duke next week, which means I'm basically adding him, hoping that he goes berserk again, and then maybe I would start him in my championship match. So it wouldn't surprise me necessarily if he has another big game, if they said, wow, look at this guy. This looks better than anything we've ever thrown out there. Let's let him get some run. Let's see what he can do. I really hope so, because I really like Duke Johnson as a person and as a player. But for my fantasy team, the circumstances around me starting him in either of the next 2 weeks seems so remote to me, Joe, despite the huge game, that I'm just willing to let somebody else deal with it.
I'd love to see if that game helped anybody. Like, is there any fantasy playoff team that game from Duke Johnson actually helped? Yates is shaking his head. I probably agree. It's probably
there's
zero.
No way.
But Duke Johnson's family is definitely in their own fantasy league right now, okay? And he's like the number one.
If there's one of you out there that had Duke Johnson in a lineup, I want you to tweet it at me at JoePizzaPia17. I want to see it. I want to see the active Duke Johnson lineup because, you know, crazy things happen. You end up grabbing guys off the waiver wire last second. And I'm sure it happened in like a handful of lineups somewhere. I just want to see one live in person. That's all.
There's bound to be somebody who was in a super deep league who checked my rankings and was like, whoa, Dan loves him this week. He's got him 80th. I got to start that guy. Went after him. Yeah, it really was something remarkable, honestly. Like these things that come out of nowhere. At least Reynolds, right, Joe? Like we saw it last week. Mm-hmm. that right. He was a guy who maybe people were actually at. Like, there's nobody who was starting Duke.
Hey, I started Reynolds' DFS lineup last night, sure. So what do you want from me? Yeah. Yates, your thoughts on Duke Johnson here. I want to get your two cents.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere near him. I think there's going to be people that are going to chase after him just based on the production. I mean, how can you not at least be intrigued with that, right? But you look at now Philip Lindsay being activated off the COVID-19 list, Saban Ahmed, Duke Johnson, Miles Gaskin, Malcolm Brown potentially coming off of IR. Like, this is just an absolute mess of a backfield. And if it was a better matchup, like if they were playing, I don't know, the New York Jets again, then I would maybe at least a little bit intrigued here. But they're going up against the Saints and on Monday Night Football, where, again, we talked about it, like, this week it was, okay, lock in the points. Like, we don't know what is going on here with COVID. I don't want to push these players out that are playing on Tuesday, Monday, anything like that. I just want the points at this point. And I think that's something to be concerned about too with Duke Johnson, is that that's a Monday night game, and I don't want my week 16 matchup to come down to Duke Johnson, you know, and finding out if he's going to get that threshold for points there to win me my matchup. No, I won't do it. I've got him at 5 in my running back rankings.
All right, let's switch gears to the wide receiver position. And the last week or two, especially this past week on the Start Sit Show, we were really pushing for a guy from Buffalo who really did come through in the best way. And Yates, I'm going to tell you right now, if he is not your number one wide receiver ad, I'm going to be very disappointed in you.
You're going to be disappointed. He's number two. So he's right there. He's neck and neck. But Gabriel Davis was absolutely fantastic. And I went out on a freaking limb in my rankings with Gabriel Davis this past week, and it paid off. I think consensus, last time I checked, what locked at wide receiver 40 for Gabriel Davis. I had him at 29. And so wow. I was like, this is a massive swing. If Gabriel Davis does not come through with a touchdown or a big performance, I am screwed. And he came through with two of them. So yes, absolutely made the right call there with Gabriel Davis. This is a guy who we know the talent. We know that he can be productive when he gets the opportunity. And now looking at what Davis did this week, I cannot believe that Buffalo has left him on the bench this entire year in favor of, sorry, Dan, Emmanuel Sanders at this point of his career. So it's just really, really confusing. Now, I will say that Gabriel Davis being at number two for me, part of it is that I don't know if Emmanuel Sanders is going to be out. And I also don't know if Buffalo is going to make the right call, even if Emmanuel Sanders does return, to bench him in favor of Gabe Davis. So there's some trepidation there. There's some reservation with Gabriel Davis, but the upside is still through the roof.
All right. So Gabriel Davis is your two. So who is your one?
Let's go with the guy that I hyped up as a deep league sleeper in the offseason. And this is, we definitely didn't get it at the beginning of the season. Took him a little bit, but Amon-Ra St. Brown is just absolutely coming through for fantasy purposes here. 12 targets, 11 targets over the last three games, and has finished as a top 10. He's wide receiver 5 on the week currently. I think he's going to finish as a top 10 receiver in two of those 3 weeks. Like, this guy is absolutely coming through. And who does he get to play? Next week, the Atlanta Falcons secondary. So Amon-Ra St. Brown at this point has become an integral part of the Detroit Lions offense, and it's working. He is producing, and the Lions offense is actually doing something at this point of the season, even without Swift and Hawkinson, right? That's the crazy part. So St. Brown at this point absolutely belongs to, it belongs to be, I'm sorry, is considered a must add. But then also is now moving into must-start territory, right? That's kind of the consideration here with Amon-Ra St. Brown. So absolutely my number one pickup of the week, 10% fab bid for me. Gabriel Davis, same kind of fab bid there with 10%.
Yeah, and for those people who are so worried about, well, he plays for the Lions, I wouldn't worry about it, because if you look at the volume here, 12 targets against Minnesota in week 13, then 12 targets again at Denver, and then 11 targets yesterday. So pretty steady in terms of target volume there. So you got to love that. And he had the touchdown in two of those three games as well. So Amon-Ra St. Brown is my two. My number one is Gabriel Davis, because I stay on brand. I don't just abandon my guys and put him in the number two spot after I talk about him all week like some people on this podcast. Dan Harris, how about you? Who's your number one and two wide receiver ads for week 16?
My number one ad this week is Emmanuel Sanders, because I'm just kidding. I am in agreement with Yates on this one. Or a better fantasy analyst would just say ditto, but I'm going to use more words to add nothing of value whatsoever. I am expecting Emmanuel Sanders to be out again next week, so I am factoring that in, but still ranking Gabe Davis second as opposed to first. They get New England. That's obviously a matchup that's been tough on opposing wide receivers. Now, I don't know if it's going to be that bad for Davis, because you assume that J.C. Jackson's going to take on Gilmore and they'll try to take Gilmore away. That will make Josh Allen pivot
Diggs,
to other options.
Stephon Diggs.
What did I say?
You said Gilmore.
Everything's fine. Yep, I'm not fine. Exhausted at all. Yeah, that's true. There is no receiver named Gilmore for the Bills. I apologize. Goodness gracious. Thank you. Stephon Diggs. I assume that that's what they're going to try to take away, of course. And so you're going to have Gabe Davis probably there. But Joe, you mentioned just the target volume for Amon-Ra St. Brown at this point. And you're right, Yates, you know, they get Atlanta. That's just something that I can't ignore. I mean, Davis is great. You know, he's 4 touchdowns in the last 3 games, right? 3 straight games with a touchdown. Fantastic. But as a tiebreaker, it's St. Brown. And I will say, Yates said 10%. I mean, at this point, you've got probably 4 people in your league playing for something and picking something up. And maybe, you know, who knows? But bottom line is this, I'll spend whatever it takes. Like, I'm not holding fab at this point to get it. Like, in my bid, when we put in our bid, I said, I think 40% or 50%. Because at this point, I'm on Ross A. Brown, Yates. You've made the playoffs. You're in the semis still. No matter how strong you are, Amon-Ra St. Brown is a guy you are going to consider starting this week, regardless of your situation. So for me, bet 40, 50%, whatever you need to do, both for him and Gabe Davis, because I do think both of those guys can just slide right into your starting lineup.
All right, so we've basically got the same ones and twos. So Dan Harris, give me a third wide receiver you want to add this week.
It's MVS, who we saw had the nice game yesterday. And again, he's just getting a little more involved. It seems clear that sort of, you know, I was talking about it with Pat on the recap show, and obviously that's his team with the Packers, but just about how they've talked so much about how they really do start to have faith in him now. They want to get him more involved, you know, as possible. They're going to go up against a Cleveland team on short rest at the very least coming in. So he's a guy who I think we're past the point. There are two guys, Davis and Amon-Ra St. Brown, who you can basically start next week. I don't really think that MVS falls into the, like, certainly not must start category, but he's getting enough target volume over 3 of his last 4 games that I do think he's a guy who, if you're in a deeper league or if you're in a pinch or you lost Evans and Godwin, he could factor in there. So for me, that kind of, it's a tier unto himself because the top 2 guys are in their own tier. Then for me, it's Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Then there's a little bit of a drop off to the next guy. But I think you can pick up MVS and sort of just see where it goes, at least, even if you're not going to start him this week.
MVS is my number 3 as well. I mean, it's boom or bust. That's what he is. So I don't care how much they like him or how much you hear any positive things. He's either 4 points or 20 points, and there's very little in between. So you basically have to look at what your lineup and what you can have on your roster and tolerate. Some people can't possibly have the bad outcome of MVS, but the good one is great. I mean, if you hate your chances going into next week because you lost a bunch more players and somehow squeaked out, yeah, I can see picking up MVS and being a guy that you could throw in there in the flex spot. Yates, who is your number 3 wide receiver going into this week?
I'm going to go with, well, let me just say this. The first 2 guys that we talked about, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Gabriel Davis, those guys are like the ones that you must add. And then everyone else after this is kind of like, yeah, you can flex them if you need to, but they're not guys that I'm like, yes, let's make sure that we start these guys in week 16, right? So for me at number 3 is Tyler Johnson, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver. This is someone where you look at the vacated Chris Godwin role. We know that he's going to be out the remainder of the regular season. So we look at that role and we know that how valuable that is. And then if Mike Evans is forced to miss time too, it's really a conversation of where else is the ball going to go. Now, do I think that Tyler Johnson is going to be suddenly like a league winner or someone that is absolutely just going to take a lineup and put it over the top? No, I don't. But I do think that he is going to provide a safe floor, right? I can see him getting 7, 8, 9 targets this next week, probably reeling in, you know, 70% of them and at least providing that safe floor. So that's kind of where I was thinking with Tyler Johnson, someone that I think can be added as a flex option for you, deeper leagues, especially in full PPR. I think he's going to be fine. For me, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, though, falls at number 4. And you're right, Joe, boom or bust. Like, that's still how we have to categorize him. 19 targets from weeks, whatever the 2 weeks before last week was. I don't know what week it is. So 19 targets over those 2 games, and then he had the dud performance in week 14. And then this last week, he emerges again, right? So going into last week, the conversation was, is it Alan Lazard or is it Marquez Valdes-Scantling as the second receiver behind Davante Adams that will do something? And so I still have those concerns. Even though MVS dominated targets, even though he was extremely productive, I still have those concerns. So if you are adding him, you have to recognize that he does come with a lower floor still, even though he's put together some dominant performances here in the recent history.
All right, so we all agree on the top tier. And then this middle tier, you got MVS at 3. Give me the rest of the names that you feel are at least ad worthy for those people who might be scrambling for wide receivers this week.
Yeah, for me, Laquon Treadwell is at number five.
It's a safe place. Say it. He's my number four.
That's Laquon Treadwell has been producing. Like, the lowest receiving yardage that he's gotten over the past four games is 53 yards, and he gets to take on the Jets this next week. I mean, it's just crazy what we have, what 2021 has become, but Laquon Treadwell is someone that we can actually look at and feel confident playing, and he's still only 1.4% owned rostered in fantasy football leagues. It is absolutely absurd. So he's someone that is at number five for me, someone that I think you can add as a flex option, but again, not feeling like I really need to run out there and add him, especially if I've got wide receivers that I can play.
I'm glad you said it, because I've been talking about him for weeks now. And you pointed out he has been a pretty steady presence here since he's been given the opportunity. Once Agnew went down, Treadwell kind of emerged, and he's been solid. There's just no way around it. He's been a guy that we've highlighted on the DFS show here on Fantasy Pros a few times. Is one of those cheap free square guys you can build the lineup around for tournaments and kind of cherry pick whatever you want. But in season long, he's starting to ingratiate himself into this startable PPR flex kind of role. You got other names on here besides Treadwell, Dan Harris. You got guys like Kendrick Bourne still floating around at 29%. Rashad Bateman at 32%. Jalen Guyton, who's been relatively useful in the last few weeks, he's at 10%. And Jameson Crowder, Josh Reynolds, Alan Lazard, kind of usual suspects we always see here. But does anybody really stand out to you, Dan, as being worthy of an ad this week?
No, I did have Tyler Johnson as four, and I thought Yates's points were correct. And I have Bourne and then Treadwell personally. Bourne's, you know, relatively consistent, and it's against Buffalo, so it's not a great matchup, but it still is something where there's a floor there that you can feel reasonably confident in if they throw the ball more than three times. Something like that. Right. And I'll add, by the way, Breshad Perriman, just because he was out for this game, the COVID list, I believe. So if he comes off there, like, I don't know exactly how this is going to break down with, I'm going to assume that Evans is out, by the way, because you've got a hammy injury, right? Let's just assume he's out. We know Godwin's out basically for the rest of the regular season. Antonio Brown comes back, but he's been out for a significant amount of time. Put aside all the anything else, like, he was injured. His conditioning is not going to be there. So it's not as if he's going to be able to go out there and play every single snap. So I do think that you will see Tyler Johnson get a significant number of snaps, and Perriman if he's able to come back off the COVID list. So I do think he might be worth an ad once you get past that. No Rashad Bateman, who you know I love, but I mean, we're done at this point, certainly where we are. But really, it's fine to add Bourne, to add Treadwell. But again, it's just really difficult for me to see that a team right now who's in the semifinals of their playoffs will get into a spot where they'll be thinking about playing any of those guys.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Medcare Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind, and memberships cost as little as $85 for an entire year for your entire household. And right now at Fantasy Pros, as a listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS, and no matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now, back to the action. Moving on to the quarterbacks here to talk about, and I've been doing waiver wire shows for more than a decade now, and I gotta tell you guys, I don't remember a time ever where on the waiver wire, the number one fantasy quarterback from the week and running back for the week happened to be waiver wire guys, and I certainly don't recall it ever happening in the playoffs. It is a bizarre set of circumstances, but Tyler Huntley just dropped 36 yesterday, in case you missed it, folks. It was a dazzling performance, 74 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns total, 215 passing yards as well. Huntley's played pretty well, and unfortunately, John Harbaugh continues to somehow be obsessed with two-point conversions, regardless of having the best kicker in football. I don't quite understand this. I'll never grasp it. I never want to understand it, but Huntley's at a point right now. I know Fields is out there too, boys. There's a few quarterbacks still out there that are worthy of adding, even those single quarterback leagues. But how about you, Yates? Let's start with you on this one. Who do you think, in terms of streaming quarterback this week, do you feel most comfortable with? Is it somebody like Huntley? Is it somebody like Fields? Or is it one of those old standbys like Ben Roethlisberger?
Well, no, it's not Ben Roethlisberger. So I think that if we knew that Lamar Jackson was, again, we talked about this with like Craig Reynolds and Jamal Williams, right? Like if we knew 100% with 100% certainty that we knew that Lamar Jackson was going to be out this next week, then absolutely we would have Tyler Huntley as, I mean, a top five pickup. Like, you can't ignore what he's doing as a runner, and he's actually looking pretty good as a passer as well. Like, there's some errant throws here or there, but like he's striping it in, and Mark Andrews, good night. So I think with Huntley, if we knew that he was the starter for week 16, then I would have him as the number one quarterback. We don't know that yet. And so I've got Huntley here as someone that you can pick up if you are a QB needy team. But right now I'm assuming that there's not a lot of space on fantasy rosters, you know, on the benches. So this is someone where he might actually still be on your waiver wire after waivers run, which is crazy, right? You talked about the number one quarterback being a waiver wire guy. It might be even crazier that the number one quarterback on the week is going to still be there after waivers run because he is a backup quarterback. And we don't know if Lamar Jackson's going to miss this next game. So that's where I'm coming at it with Huntley. I have him at 3 currently in my quarterback rankings. For me, Justin Fields is still at number 1. Now, we don't know exactly what's going to happen here on Monday Night Football, but I am expecting Fields to have a solid performance here. I need him to have a solid performance because I've got him in 2 of my playoffs. So this is someone where I'm still looking his way because of the matchup. Next week up against Seattle, I still think this is a secondary that you can throw on. And Fields, with his rushing ability, it's kind of the same thing as Huntley. So I still have Fields there at number 1.
Well, I could tell you that I had to start Huntley in a Superflex lineup yesterday, and I was very happy that I just speculated because I didn't know that Lamar Jackson was going to be out, and he ended up being out, and I ended up having to play Huntley. And guess what? It worked out pretty good. He gave me a better performance than almost Lamar Jackson's given me all year out of that same lineup. And I got to tell you, as you said, Yates, a few errant throws here and there, but overall looked pretty solid. And that rushing floor that we're so in love with when it comes to Taysom Hill, when it comes to some of these rushing quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts, this dude's got that. I mean, 74 is no joke. I mean, that is a big number. It's not 34, even 40, 74. That is huge. Dan Harris, I think I speculatively add Huntley anyway, just because I want to see, and just because with all the COVID stuff going on, God forbid I get in a situation where I lose a quarterback to COVID in terms of protocols or something like that. At least I have another guy on my roster, and I'm encouraging everybody in those single quarterback leagues to add a second one if you don't, just as an insurance policy, and add the best one you can, because right now I think everything is very tenuous in the NFL. But Dan, that being said, how do you see the quarterback field this week?
Yeah, so I have Fields and Huntley ranked back-to-back in my overall waiver wire rankings, just to be clear, like not just quarterback rankings, but we rank, what, 40, 50 players, whatever. They're back-to-back because I really have no problem. I want to see what Fields does tonight in tonight's game. As of right now, I have Fields ahead for really the reasons that Yates said, which is if I knew that Lamar Jackson were out next week, then I would have Huntley, you know, right behind Amon-Ra St. Brown or Gabriel Davis or something like that, because he could really be a weak winner. But I think that, you know, Jackson has a low ankle sprain. He wasn't even ruled out this week until late in the week. So they need to win. So I'd expect them to come back. But Joe, look, if you're in a good spot with your quarterback situation, like a pretty good spot, somebody you like to start, you feel decent about, maybe not the top option. Then if you want to get a guy like Huntley on your roster and make him the priority, because, man, if Jackson is out, you just might start Huntley without it. I'm fine with that. Those are the only two guys. Fields is number one for me right now, then Huntley. But depending on what happens tonight, I wouldn't be opposed to switching it.
All right, fair enough. Moving on to the tight end position. Dan, I don't like any of these ads. I'm sorry. Like, the guys that are left right now, it feels like we're just picking the bones and the carcass here. I am not feeling good if this is what it comes down to, basically. So hopefully you have a tight end situation that's at least good enough that you're starting somebody out there, like a Ertz or a Goddard or somebody out there. Dan, when you're looking at the guys this week, is there a streaming tight end that you prefer more than the others who are left here? And as I said, it's kind of slim pickings right now.
Joe, you have summarized the tight end landscape correctly. Everybody who's available is a terrible fantasy option. And so there's nobody who you really want because there are tight ends available. And there could be that person who forgot to have a tight end on his team or something like that. Right now, I have Ricky Seals-Jones, number one. Let's see how it goes in their game on Tuesday. Then I have Cole Kmet. Let's see how that goes against Seattle. Then I have Evan Ingram, because apparently if you are a Giants wide receiver, you are unable to stay on the field for more than a few plays. But that is it, Joe. I completely agree. I'm running away from everybody's available. Like, there's just no way. There's no way, given what we've seen in recent weeks, like of the Tyler Conklin's, like there's enough out there where you don't have to go this deep into the tight end range. But if you had to, I don't know. I guess Ricky Seals-Jones is my number one.
Yeah, he is my number one too, but that's not saying a whole lot. Yates, when you're looking at the tight ends, is there someone you prefer?
I should go with James O'Shaughnessy, the tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He led the Jaguars in receiving yesterday, and he goes up against the New York Jets this next week. So, yeah, but I mean, guys, like if you have to look at the waiver wire here in week 16, like you are in a bad, bad place. And like, are you okay? Like, do you need a hug? Like, that's kind of where we're at with these guys. So, yeah, James O'Shaughnessy will get the nod for me at the number one position. But I mean, like, I'm going to rank him like tight end 20 on the week.
Right.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to our top five waiver wire ads overall for the week, week 16. This is round two of the playoffs here. For me, I've got Ronald Jones at the top, Gabriel Davis at two, Amon Ross St. Brown at three, Craig Reynolds at four, and then I'm looking to the quarterback. So Huntley is my five, Fields is six. Again, that could flip-flop potentially if Fields really balls out tonight, but I don't know, man. I'm feeling this Tyler Huntley. I am riding the wave, as they say, as the kids like to say things like that. Speaking of kids, Yates, who are your top five waiver wire ads for week 16?
I'll go with Ronald Jones at number one overall. We illustrated and we talked through that. Justin Jackson did move up to number two overall. Thank you, Dan. So talking through that one, give him the edge there at number two. Amon-Ra St. Brown at number three. Samaje Perine at number four for the time being. And then Gabriel Davis at number five overall.
All right, Dan Harris, how about your top five this week?
I thought Yates was about to leave Gabriel Davis outside of his top five, and I was going to riot completely. I believe I have the same top five as Yates in a slightly different order. Obviously, Ronald Jones is number one. I'm adding Amon-Ra St. Brown with a priority right now at number two. Gabriel Davis, number three. Justin Jackson is number four. And even with the fact that I think Mixon was back on the field, we have seen a minor injury for Mixon wind up taking him out for the rest of the season. So I will put Samaje Perine for right now at number five.
Yeah, I thought I had Gabriel Davis high going into this week because I'm at 32, but Yates, you beat me by a couple spots there. So good on you.
Defense and kicker streamers.
All right, let's talk to the defenses out there. And again, not a great group here. I'm just going to land on the Eagles, guys, because they're playing the Giants, and that offense certainly has issues, to put it mildly, at this point in time. And it's not because I love the Philadelphia Eagles as a fantasy defense, because they really haven't been super productive. They don't really create a lot of the exciting things that make a defense good to have in fantasy sports. But at the same time, I think you just play the matchup here, because what's left is you got the Chargers against Houston. It's just, I'm sure, going to be more popular for most people. But Bosa potentially out for that game. We just got that news. And then on top of which, you know, we're in a spot here where the Chargers are another defense that really hasn't put up a lot of fantasy numbers this year. So, Yates, when you're looking at the defensive landscape, who would you rather have this week? Is it the Eagles, is it the Chargers, or maybe somebody else further down the trough?
It's the order that you mentioned earlier. So I've got the Philadelphia Eagles at number one for me, and then the Los Angeles Chargers at number two. I think both are fine options. Even without Bosa, I think the Chargers defense is going to be able to do enough to contain Davis Mills and Brandon Cooks. So that's essentially all they've got on offense. So the Eagles will get the nod though for me, because they're going up against the New York Giants, and Mike Glennon might've just played his way out of the NFL. And Jake Fromm, you know, I liked Fromm coming out of college, but he's still only been with this team for 2 weeks now at this point. And so he'll take care of the football. That's what he did in college. But I really don't think that he's going to put up points.
I did not like Jake Fromm in college, so I am not very optimistic about how good he's going to play. I got to tell you, man, I mean, you know, I'm sure Mike Glennon is going to be somewhere next year. I mean, can we have a football season without Mike Glennon backing up somewhere? I don't think that's possible. Dan Harris, for you, when it looks like the defenses out there are, you know, few and far between, is there somebody you would land on here in this group?
I think you guys have it correct. I would also go with the Eagles, certainly my number one choice, then the Chargers. But I agree, Bosa being out really sort of takes the shine off them. There are some others you can look at. The Seahawks, again, against Chicago. I mean, the Seahawks are playing a little better, although they're going to be on a really short week, obviously, because
short
they're playing
week,
Tuesday.
And Jamal Adams is out too. I don't know.
But still, they've still played better, and it's Chicago, really, who gives up a lot of points to opposing DSCs. But really, that's it. And then, you know, after that, it's like, why does the team playing the Jets have to be the Jaguars right now? But like, if you're absolutely desperate, you could even look there, because the Jets are fun to go if you have an opposing DST. But it is the Eagles for sure. Now the Chargers, who were, I think, pretty close to them, Joe, they do take a little bit of a step back here with the COVID news.
It's the first time in a while, Dan, you and I haven't done that look ahead show for betting pros. What's the line on the Jags Jets game this week?
I opted not to do a look ahead line, but I'll look it up right now because of the fact.
Number one and number two overall pick.
What do you want to set this line up? Before you look, Dan, what would you set this line up? Jaguars traveling to New York. I would think the Jets by two.
I'm going to say the Jags by one. What about you, Yates?
I'll go Jags by two.
All right, hold on. Looking it up. And the correct answer is coming. 1 second. Very excited. The Jets by 2.5.
Oh, 2.5. Okay, I was close. Okay.
Wow.
What's the over-under? 39.5?
The over-under is 6, which is weird. Oh,
checks out.
The over-under is 41.5.
Oh, 41. Wow. Wow.
All right, so it's actually 3 at DraftKings. I might go sprinkle a little bit on the Jags.
Nothing like
I like more than betting against the Jets.
I can't believe you guys didn't give the Jets their respect. It's true. They deserve.
Hey, I mean, I was on them getting 10 or 9.5 this week, so I had that one nailed. But
hey, remember when the Buccaneers were double-digit favorites? Remember that? Yes. That was fun.
Yes, I do. Remember Arizona?
Yeah, that's what I'm All right, let's talk about the streaming kickers of the week. 2 weeks in a row, Dustin Hopkins for me. Once again, just playing the total here, going with the Chargers offense, who I have a lot of faith in here, regardless of Eckler status or anybody else. I've got a lot of faith in Justin Herbert. He's a really good quarterback, and he's going to move the chains. And he's going to figure things out and put them in places to at least kick field goals, if not some extra points as well. So give me the Chargers against Houston and Dustin Hopkins. That's where I'm going for 2 weeks in a row. Yates, how about you when it comes to kickers? Who you got?
I'll go with Younghoe Koo. You look at the Atlanta offense here, not really doing a ton, but up against Detroit, I think they're at least going to be able to move the ball enough to get into field goal range routinely. So that's kind of the way that I'm playing this. He gets the nod there for me.
Dan Harris, your favorite subject, kickers. The floor
Yay!
Is yours.
Look, Yates is the guy who ranks kickers like the most accurate human in the world.
You know what? If you want kicker information, Dan's right. Yates is the go-to. Make sure at Kyle Y NFL, every kicker question you have, please send it his way, because he's the best in the biz when it comes
one
to
one of the most accurate kicker rankers in the whole game. So everybody
he's more
add
accurate
him.
Ranking kickers than most kickers are kicking field goals.
Add him with all your kicker questions at Kyle Y NFL. He does take them and he will
all
respond to every single one.
Can we say Kyle Y NFL for kicker questions?
Yeah. Let's
say it again.
Just a few
Kyle
times,
y
guys. Just
Kyle Y NFL on the Twitter. I will agree with the most accurate man around. And I will go with Younghoe Koo for my number one, but I do have Hopkins number two. Again, both guys kicking in controlled
Chris Godwin ACL tear.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. Why you gotta end the show like that? Why are we gonna have terrible news? Oh, it stinks. And he's
he was out for fantasy purposes, and we are a fantasy show, of course. ACL. He was out for the regular season, but that stinks, man. Well,
especially because he's a free agent. So now you're gonna have that whole thing where it's gonna hurt him in terms of his free agent stock. So that's bad news for him, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, certainly. And you know, Antonio Brown's still hanging around there. I expect AB to work. I expect Johnson to work. I mean, this is going to be a tough sled there.
Question for you guys, by the way, sorry, totally random. Before these injuries, what were the Bucs planning to do with Antonio Brown next week when he was eligible to come off?
Cause
I've always
activating him because
you think
Brady
so?
Loves him. Yeah.
I thought they were gonna suspend him for the rest of the year.
No.
That's what I thought. But could have been wrong. All right,
Tom Brady always sticks his neck out for him, I feel like.
Yeah.
By the way, Yates, before you rank kickers, do you set your laptop up, then step 2 steps back, and then 2 steps to the left?
And then I punt my computer.
And then you click.
Have you guys ever tried to kick a field goal, by the way? Because I am that video that you saw of the guys in Carolina warming up yesterday. Like, yes. I touch it. Yeah, garage door, keep going. And we go to our like local high school football field, and we have one of the like the stands that we can do, and Will and I try them sometimes. And
company
it's the
retreat
most
idea.
Possible thing.
Company retreat idea.
Field goal contest. There you go.
Fantastic.
There you go.
I'm in.
Let's see if you can kick one from Hawaii, Dan. All right. So that'll do it for all the waiver wire additions here. Hopefully you have some fab left or some priority left here, and you're hanging on. Gentlemen, before we close things out here, just out of curiosity, we got 4 games in 2 days. Dan Harris, do you have anything that's kind of holding on by a string here, invested in these 4 games, whether on your side or a team you're playing against that you're watching very closely?
Yes, actually, I do. I'm in an FSGA league and looked great the whole time. You know, it's got the percentages. And up until right about like halftime last night, I was an overwhelming favorite. Now I'm a pretty overwhelming underdog. Tonight, I am winning currently by 36 fantasy points. I'm going up against Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson in a full PPR league. I'm an underdog. We're going to need one of these random, terrible spots.
It is the Vikings, Dan.
It is Cousins in prime time. You never know. Yates, your Bears, they're going to come through, right, bud?
I really hope so.
And all right, here's another one. Will,
in the Fantasy Bros Kids League needs the win to get into the playoffs. Okay. He is currently up 10 points. He had Brady. Again, another overwhelming favorite that Brady torpedoed. Up 10 points. Going up against Justin Jefferson in a half PPR league. He also has David Montgomery.
Call it. You should be able to get that.
Yeah.
Yates, right. Yeah, you're both favoring him?
Yeah.
He's going to watch this back. If he loses, you're both dead to him, all right?
That's fair. I know I've got a lot of Stafford left. Like, that's the thing that I'm looking most closely at. Like, Stafford has a good game. We survive in advance. How about you, Yates? Anybody in particular you're looking at this week?
I'm looking at this sleeper bowl that I'm in. I'm going up against A.J. Dillon this week, and I had Kamara play, CEH play, Jamar Chase play, and the Chiefs defense, and Harrison Butker, and I have 23 combined points. I still have yet to play Justin
Duke
Fields.
Johnson had more points than all of those guys.
Yeah,
combined.
Feels
That's
great.
Amazing.
Justin Fields, Hunter Renfro, Justin Jefferson, Tyler Conklin, and Daryl Henderson all have yet to play. I'm down by 60, and he has David Montgomery.
Oh,
so
you have a chance.
I have a chance, but given the way this week is gone, I really don't feel great about it.
Well, maybe you just need a little Tuesday night football to change your luck. That's what we all need in life, a little Tuesday night football. I love
By the way, just across, Mike Evans strained hamstring week to week, but a chance to play Sunday. I don't know too many people who have been deemed week to week and play that coming week.
With a hamstring, no less.
Yes,
right. Who's always been the king of hamstring issues? Mike Evans.
Right. Also, by the way, they're against Carolina. So I don't think they need to bring the house here.
It's going
to
be AB all day. You watch. AB for 12 catches.
It's going to be Ronald Jones for 700 carries. Okay.
All right. It could also be Alvin Kamara at some point in time in that autographed jersey. Again, fantasypros.com/contest to get yours. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. You can head over to Pristine Auction, check out all the cool swag that they got over there that you can start bidding on amazing memorabilia. But again, you got to subscribe to our YouTube channel over at Fantasy Pros, and then you then screenshot that bad boy, head over to fantasypros.com/contest to enter to win the Alvin Kamara jersey. And if you need some extra help, and after this show, I imagine you do, head over and get some My Playbook cheat sheets. They're free. They're for you over at My Playbook. So fantasypros.com/myplaybook, where you can find them. So go ahead and get them, because everybody likes the cheat sheets and they're free. Did I mention they're free? Because they're free. And get to know the Fantasy Pros brand, the things we do here and the amazing tools we have. And then next year you become a subscriber and then you crush everybody. That's the idea. So make sure you go head over to My Playbook and check it out if you haven't already. There's still time. And the way things are going, you're going to need all the help you can get to get a championship this year. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including FanTeam. Europe's largest daily fantasy sports site is now available in the U.S., and you can come play too. Sign up today at fanteam.co/fantasypros. Again, that's fanteam.co, capital FANTASY, capital PROS. FanTeam, where the fan becomes a manager. And don't forget about AirMedCare Network either. When a medical emergency arises, you and your family want to be protected. So visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code fantasypros no matter where you are in the game of life. An Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Kyle Yates and Dan Harris, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.